Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Why wait until Friday to start your weekend?
Go ahead, start right now.
You're thirsty now, and 93.7 The Ticket is here to help you stock up.
Just in time for the weekend when I like to hit the clubs.
Time to broaden your horizons and try some new wine and beer. It's Thirsty Thursday with Kevin Meyer from Meyer's Cork and Bottle.
Not bad.
A 7.75 maybe.
Not bad. How about it.
I mean, it was a real cork.
It was. Oh, that was loud.
Yeah, that's definitely 8.4.
That looks really, really good.
We love the sound of Kevin Meyer's dulcet tones as well as the pop pop and the fizz fizz. Kevin Meyer, Meyer's Cork and Bottle. Welcome into Thirsty Thursday, good sir.
Hello, hello. We've got Miss Ellie joining us, so that's exciting. We've got Jay on my left, Austin on my right on the ones and twos. And I'm happy to be here because Thursday starts the weekend. Am I right?
Sure does.
That sounds like you've done that before, though, Kevin. It sounds like you'd have took over a house party or two before we got in the DJ booth.
I can't say that I actually have, but no. One can dream.
It's natural, though.
One can dream. I might be a little too old for that now, though.
Maybe next week you can sit here on the board
and just push the buttons.
Push the buttons.
Yeah, I would love that. You just say that one.
Oh, it looks like there's a lot of buttons here,
but
you only have to know 10 of them.
I could learn that.
I know you could.
All right. Deal. Done. Let's do it.
Let's jump into Thirsty Thursday. Looks like we're starting with what would normally be the beer, but it's not really a beer. What we got?
It's a cider. Actually.
Ellie's Alley.
That's right. Whoops. I'm trying to talk and pour the wine at the same time because I think this wine might need a little bit of airtime before we get to it.
We're giving it airtime. That's why we're on the radio.
Well, this is true. I love the double entendre. This is a brand new seasonal cider from our good friends at Glacial Till Winery and Cidery in Bennett Palmyra area, just southeast of Lincoln. And it is their apple cider donut cider. So if you go to a pumpkin patch, most of them have apple cider. And now a lot of them have started making apple cider donuts. So they decide to make an apple cider donut cider. Mm-hmm. And I thought this would be right up Ellie's alley and be fun to try. And it's, it's officially fall and it's hay rack ride season. It's fire pit season. It's upon us. We've willed it into existence. And so I thought, let's celebrate with some apple cider donut cider.
Ellie, since this is up your alley, we'll give you the first word.
I think it's delectable. I think it stays. It's got a good aftertaste. It stays there like a nice, sweet little
layup.
I just think I could never be a taster or like a food critic and give what I thought. But I think it's very good. It's very up Ellie's alley. I would definitely buy this. If I were to see this at a store, this is something that I would buy. Because I would want, one, that's cool, it's seasonal. And two, it sounds like something that I would really like.
The difficult part in all of this is just verbalizing what it is that you're tasting.
I know.
Above and beyond saying, I think it's delicious or I think it's sweet or I think it's that's something that I've had to kind of learn and train myself to do in the past 25 years since I've been doing this. And, but once you do, it kind of opens up a new vocabulary and also a new sort of awareness, where you go, hey, I've tasted that before. I've smelled that before. And that's eucalyptus or that's pepper or that's
eucalyptus. What are you, a koala?
you know, I mean, we tasted a wine my wife and I had last weekend that was mostly Merlot, and it had this interesting, like, sort of eucalyptusy quality, and you know, almost not quite like a mentholatum, but it has that, you know, and so it's kind of like one of those things where normally you wouldn't be able to go, yeah, that's what that is, but because I've had to train myself and be trained over the years, I was like, "Do you taste that?" She's like, "That's exactly what that is." So, anyway, just a small example.
Nice. I need it to become a. I would like to expand my vocabulary. So if you could teach me some of your intricate words to make me sound smarter in front of my friends, that'd be awesome. You've already, you already say some stuff, and I'm like, wow, that sounded very, very astute.
Astute.
Couple of T's in there.
Porcelain.
No astute. D in astute.
I only know that word. That's the only reason I know that word is from Glee. And that's it.
Oh, well, you but just now
you're
keep
helping me.
In.
See, you're helping me.
Sitting in.
Jay, I never said I was a genius.
I like it, man. I like it. I think this is definitely one that can knock your socks off. If you, yeah. It's so sweet. But then I like the aftertaste, too. It does really. You know what's crazy? Sometimes they all this is going to supposed to, you got, you know, donut in it. You're not going to taste it. You taste it.
You do. Yeah. And that's
pretty cool. That's pretty, I mean, I don't know how they make it, but it's pretty cool.
You do taste definitely the apple cider up front, but then you kind of get that like donut-y, yeah. Like almost like glaze on the back end. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that kind of sticks around, like glazed donut type of thing. So it's weird. I don't know how they do it, but it's working.
This is fantastic for me and Ellie, because we spent all day last Friday drinking cider.
We did.
Multiple hours. We went down to Arbor Day Farm.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Some of us longer than others, because some of us sent us back to Lincoln while I watched them drink the cider, eat the food.
Eat the cider donuts,
all the stuff.
The burnt end walking tacos.
As he's rubbing it in. And I was sitting right there making sure that the ones and twos were okay back home.
Well, part of that is being a low person on the totem pole. There you go. You
true,
know, the newbie youngest.
What we could have done is not invited Ellie and say, you know what, we can handle social media content ourselves because we're grown-ups. But we decided to bring not just you, but you and Gracie along for the
and
ride.
We had such
because you're good
time.
Company and you did great work. And we were hoping you. That you would appreciate.
I appreciated so much. It felt like a fever dream. Like it was like
a
I was
fever
in it.
Hold on, time.
Yes.
Time. What is what?
Like it wasn't real life. I was there and then I
Fairy
was
tale?
Gone.
Yeah.
What's a fever dream?
Like it didn't
feel
real.
Like when you start hallucinating. Yeah. Like if you have a fever and you're like on your sick bed.
Everything was happening so quickly. I was there. I was then I wasn't there. I was driving back.
Something else.
What do you think?
That's what I was gonna say. But
yeah, I had a dream via something else. It was a hydroglyphics dream.
We have different definitions of fever dream.
All right, go ahead.
The concept is the same.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we want to shout out our friends at the Arbor Day Lodge again for having us down last week on Friday. I see a nice little Roca Berry Farm logo on the side. Did they harvest the apples from there? Is this sold down at Roca? What's the deal with that? On the
I believe that they made the cider specifically for Roca Berry Farm, but it's also in distribution as well. Because I believe they were the first ones to start doing apple cider donuts, and so they decided to make an apple cider donut cider. Mm. And, you know, then the world just keeps coming full circle. So I'm
there's
not
levels
sure.
to this game.
There is levels. Cause then are you going to make a donut out of the apple cider donut cider? You know, I mean,
you're obligated to, aren't
it's
you
chicken
point?
And the egg type stuff here. And so they're just going to keep the train rolling. I think,
are you an apple cider guy or an apple cider donut cider guy? First and foremost,
you know, I can't say that I've ever had an apple cider donut. Maybe I have. I imagine it's like an apple fritter without the icing. You
need to take wifey to Applejack Festival in Nebraska City this weekend to have their apple cider donuts. They're incredible.
Very good.
I imagine they're good. Just there are a couple things about my wife. She doesn't like crowds and she doesn't really do sweets. And so it, you know, she'd probably be like, no thanks.
But you got to get the apple cider donut.
Well, yeah, you can do that.
Just walk out into the apple orchard as far as possible. No crowds.
There you go.
That's true.
I actually grow. I have a couple apple trees, a couple different varieties. And but I'm having difficulty because they're too close to proximity to some cedar trees and they get what's called cedar rust and it prevents the fruit from coming in. So this year we only got two apples.
two apples?
Only got two apples and made sure and ate them because we only got two. So I'm going to have to research.
One for you, one for your wife. It worked out.
Well, so if someone has any experience with how to deal with cedar rust and apple trees, text into the show and Austin will relay that to me. So then I can treat my trees next year so that we can get more of a crop of apples.
Here's another reason to go down to Applejack this week. Ben, the orchard manager, would be able to help you with your cedar.
He
rust.
Would.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the dude knows more about apples knowledge. And trees. I mean, he's just a big tree fruits guy, he said. So, Ben from Arbor Day Farm, if you're listening, let us know, and we'll send that question your way.
Also needs to help me with my peaches. I can't grow a peach to save my you-know-what, so.
Yeah. 3578 says it's simple. Cut the cedars out.
Well, that's the trouble, though, is that so... When we bought the land 20 years ago, it was farmland. So all it was it used to be crops, and then it was just planted in brome grass. And the only two trees on the entire property were these two cedar trees. And so we built the house next to the cedar trees to create a little bit of a windbreak. And it was kind of fun. Like, there was like an old, I'm not kidding you, like a go west, like, what's the trail? Oregon Trail wagon. That had been completely dilapidated that was underneath those cedar trees. And so I dug it up and I made a bench out of the wagon wheels and I took a piece of 2x12 and sort of mounted it between the hubs of these old metal spoked metal rim wheels that were underneath the cedar tree. And
did you realize they were there?
They were sticking out of the ground. Oh. So I hooked a log chain to the back of my truck and just yanked them out. And so the trees have some sentimental value. So even if I can't grow apples, I'd rather not have apples than get rid of those cedar trees. So
can't you put the apple tree somewhere else?
I suppose I could try to transplant them or just plant some new apple trees somewhere else instead of where they're at. But
what's the fun in that? He has them in this area. He wants help trying to not move them.
Because they're like four years old now. And so I'm thinking next year I'm going to get the apples.
He would like to work harder, not smarter.
Yeah.
Working smarter is going to get new trees.
Yeah.
No.
I think you're right, Jay. I've got other places I can put some apple trees.
Eric, our resident smart aleck, says just spray a little WD-40 on the cedar rust.
Oh, there you go.
Is he serious?
No.
No, it's rust. WD-40, it'll make them lubricated, and grow more apples.
Derek in a car, don't cut cedars, use fruit tree spray. And look up Dr. Jim Z, whoever that is.
Okay.
Jim says copper sulfate spray should deal with cedar rust. Spray during the fall and the spring.
That's what I love about the ticket.
6491, need to smack the cedars with fungicide. That'll take care of the rust.
Okay. All right. All good input.
You got options.
Yeah.
You do. All sorts of options.
Text me those answers and I'll...
Okay. I'll pull up some screenshots of text.
I'm assuming you also have to do it seasonally, like early spring, late fall, something like that too.
So. Would assume so. You have plenty of options, not just on our text line, but at Meyer's Cork and Bottle.
True. And you know what else we got going on is a...
is it a fall wine sale still going on?
Fall wine sale, buy four wines, get one free. The great lead-in. Austin, I appreciate you for that. This is the final week. So we are in prime deck and patio season, prime grilling season. It's a great time to stock up your wine rack. You can buy four wines, get one free. And it's a deal we've never done before. So it's a great time to stock up.
It's prime. Go get it now so you're not panicked come November.
Exactly.
It's kind of what you're doing. What are we drinking on the wine front?
So this is kind of fun. This is called Lucale, and this is a Primitivo from Italy. And what Primitivo is what we call Zinfandel. So the Zinfandel grape, which is most prolific in the central coast of California, was brought over by Italians in the Gold Rush era. And what's also interesting about this wine is that it's called an apasamiento, and it means second passing. So what they do is that they will take a percentage of the grapes, they will lay them out on these great big straw mats, and they let them half raisin before they do the crush, so it concentrates the juice. Then they will keep the pressings of that and keep running the wine through it, hence the term apasamiento. It's like a second passing. We've done another wine that does that that's called Repasso, and that comes from Valpolicella up in Verona, which is more northern Italy. Same type of process, where they take the Amarone pressings, which is the king wine of Verona, and run the other wine through it. This is done with Primitivo. And the reason I brought it in is, to me, Zinfandel is the quintessential barbecue wine. And this is the OG of Zinfandel, the Italian Primitivo, that's also done with a second passing method, which makes it even that much more compelling, in my opinion.
Jay, we know you're all about the barbecue. Oh, first word goes
to you. He's already on his second glass.
Yeah, snitch like that.
Yeah. This would be great.
You taste that kind of peppery finish?
With a ribeye steak.
Mm. Heck yeah. Mm. Or even like some brisket, or I've been doing tri-tips in the brisket style. So you can get them to act like brisket, taste like brisket, but half the time or even a third of the time. And that way also you don't need to make like 7 pounds of it. You can just make enough for two or three people.
Mm. Ellie, your thoughts. I didn't see bitter one face necessarily.
No face. And I've learned to take bigger drinks. Bigger gulps.
Bigger gulps makes it easier for you?
I don't know. This is my first day trying it.
Watch this.
I usually don't finish it, but if I take bigger gulps, I finish it, and it also tastes better.
There you go.
The smaller and the more I think about, I think I'm just an overthinker when it comes to wine.
Well, Ellie, there's a term for that. It's called palate acclimation. And so you are acclimating your palate to the taste of the wine. And that's good. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Oh, that is incredible. That is a beautiful red color. That's deep. That's smooth. A little layered, but not like overly complex.
Man, yeah, it got the legs really on it too. Isn't that what it's called?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good. So, and I think that adds to the viscosity, that second passing of keeping those pressings from the dried fruit and then running the wine through it adds some richness. But it's velvety smooth. And it's not just a straight fruit bomb, which sometimes Zinfandel can be, because especially with the old vine Zinfandel, we're talking vines that are in excess of 100 years old, they'll produce fewer clusters of grapes, and the berries on this clusters will be smaller, but they develop a really, really thick skin. And so they leave them on, just really, really late in the season because they can. Well, it almost makes the juice too sweet. So then they have to ferment it up to 16% alcohol, and it's still sweet. Ooh. So you have a high alcohol, high sugar wine, and it can just be too much. This, to me, tastes more balanced.
A couple things from the text line before we let you get out of here, Kevin. First of all, Jared and Lincoln wants to know, will Myers Cork and Bottle be carrying White Elms, yeah, whatever, at some point this fall?
If they package it, we will carry it. Yeah, we carry everything we can get our hands on from White Elm. I'm good friends with Colby Wood, who's the owner brewer, heck of a good dude. And you want to talk to someone that can make you feel dumb? He doesn't do it on purpose, but the dude, I don't know what his IQ is, but it's off the charts. And he's always super informative. And I learn something new every time I hang out with Colby. So
then we got this from Kip, who says, Kevin, my favorite sitcom is Frasier. Have you ever watched it? And are there wine references legit?
In fact, their wine references are very legit and actually very spot on. They'll reference some really like old world stuff, which flies over most people's heads. But I think that's sort of the premise of the show. And Frasier and Kelsey Grammer and what was his brother's? His brother's name was Niles, but I don't remember the actor's name. But I thought that was one of the more intellectually stimulating sitcoms of the 80s.
David Hyde Pierce.
There you go. And am I correct? Did Kelsey Grammer pass away? Is he no longer with us?
I thought he was still around.
Okay. Yeah, I thought he was still around.
All right.
I think so.
All right, cool.
I'm just seeing an age. I'm not seeing anything else.
Cool.
So favorite sitcom of all time. Go.
Favorite sitcom of all time. Woo. Man.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh, man. That's tough.
That's a cop out.
That's Jay, tough.
Favorite sitcom.
I'll just say Martin, because that was part of my college life.
I like it.
And I would record it.
Parks and Rec.
Ooh, interesting.
Okay.
Okay, Kevin, you went around the table.
You go first.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, good Nine-Nine.
One.
That's a good The Office. Sitcom.
I'm probably going to have to go Cheers.
Uh-huh.
My dad was obsessed with, and still is obsessed with Seinfeld.
Seinfeld was that solid as well. I don't consider
Seinfeld
my
Friends.
I would do Seinfeld more than Friends.
See, my generation would say Friends over Seinfeld. And no, it's true.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying Seinfeld is better.
Okay. It's just a generational
Friends just
divide.
Felt like it was kind of the same show over and over again to me. But again, I think Seinfeld was perhaps a bit more cerebral.
I'm out on both.
Couchker says, "How I Met Your Mother" is the peak sit.
Oh yeah, that one's a good one. Barney, with the suits.
I just don't watch any regular TV anymore, and so I feel like I'm out for a while. I should, because it's better than. I mean, half the time we're going, "What's on Netflix?" I don't know.
There's just no monoculture anymore.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
like Game of Thrones, and then that was it.
Yeah. Me and my roommates are currently rewatching Grey's Anatomy. They just announced that they were season 22 coming out.
Good Lord.
We're on season 4.
Talk
right
about
now.
Beating a dead horse.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how many things?
Is that
like,
one dude still on there? McDreamy?
McDreamy? No, McDreamy died in season 11.
Oh, dang.
Spoilers.
And they've gone on for only 11 more seasons.
I'm like, if you're not timed in with that, there's.
I stopped
that was like,
after,
10,
like
that was more than 10 years ago.
Yeah, season 2, season 3 was
peak.
It was then it was as the jump in the shark, as they say. Do you remember that episode of Happy Days when Fonzie jumped the shark?
Yeah.
That's where that term came from. Yeah. Where like they had just run out of ideas for the show, and so they decide that he's going to jump a shark in order to like save Arnold's restaurant. I don't even remember why he's jumping the shark. It's a bet. And so it was just so hokey and so like out of the norm of reality that it became the euphemism for like beating the dead horse.
A lot of shows are having that problem now. There's this 911 show out that they're taking them to space. They had a bee tornado, things with flying fire, and now they're taking them to space. There's a problem at the International Space Station.
You know what's crazy is that
it'd be crazy.
Depending on when you were born, those are your shows. I was saying, yeah, that's your shows. I remember my dad, he would cook and grill, and I'm ready to watch the game. And then that's when MASH would come on.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And it would come on like back to back episodes. And we had one TV, and he was like, "Oh, no, we watching this."
MASH would come on about 4 o'clock for us.
So we on Sundays, at least in Minnesota, and he loved MASH.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
MASH was one of my all-time favorites growing up.
It was miserable.
Hard for
it even preempted the NFL.
Yeah.
Hard for me to say what my favorite sitcom was, but I can tell you hands down my all-time favorite movie is Pulp Fiction. So
great choice.
English, Kevin. You speak it. That's very right. Well in describing the beer and wine selection at Meyer's Cork and Bottle. Kevin, as always, appreciate your time.
Thanks. Take care.
We'll be back more Old School after this.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with Foreman and Orman. On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Rolling right along in Old School. Austin Norman, Jay Foreman back with you. Big thanks to Kevin Meyer, Meyer's Pork and Bottle, as well as Ellie sitting in for Thirsty Thursday. This segment of the show brought to you by the great people at Heartland of Nebraska Windows. They're based out of Hallam, Nebraska. They offer a free estimate, full window replacements, all vinyl triple pane windows, and a lifetime warranty on everything while keeping their prices affordable. Heartland of Nebraska Windows is locally and family owned with their own team of installers. Give Heartland of Nebraska Windows a call today for more info at 402-430-3852, or you can visit them online at heartlandofnebraskawindows.com. Jay, some NBA news. Haven't talked much NBA. Training camp to get underway. We'll start with the unfortunate injury news out of H-Town. Fred VanVleet, a knee injury. He'll miss the season. Not what the Rockets were going for during the offseason that they acquired Kevin Durant. Rockets get the 2 seed in the West last year, end up not even making the conference finals. But when you look at Houston, this is a big blow for them. Their other point guard options are unproven Reed Shepherd, little small, and Amen Thompson, who is maybe not a natural point guard, but really the only guard on the roster. That's a big hole for Houston to fill. Van Vliet's not a superstar. He's really good in his role, and he was a big part of what Houston was going to look to do.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. You know, you hate it for him because, you know, he's got it, you know, like they say, out of the mud. He's really, you know, exceeded expectations and then carved out not only a role with Houston, but a role in a position in the league of how to be successful when people expect you not to be successful. And he's what the NBA should be, you know, applauding, you know, and obviously he's been paid handsomely, you know, but he had to really earn it. And, you know, Houston was dependent on him. And I think he was probably the right time to where he didn't have to be, you know, one of the first options. And obviously with Kevin Durant coming and being number one, the rest of the team, you know, it hurts a little bit. I think it's one of those things that you start the season off, you know, with the guys that you have, but you definitely look for, you know, a capable ball handler. You know, the first guy that I think that really, you know, jumps off in my, you know, off the top of my head is somebody that probably he's one of the top players in his native country is Dennis Schroeder, where he can come in, can get a bucket. He has more size than Van Fleet, is played with stars and been successful. A great opportunity for him. I don't know if he's a little bit younger, but he had a really good summer.
Schroeder's 32 right now.
Yeah, so but you're getting a wily veteran. He's played in big markets and obviously, you know, with a lot of big time players. At the FIFA Worlds, he was very dominant. You know, his acceptance speech was in German, his native you know, language or native tongue or whatever you want to call it. When I'm thinking about a guy like that I need for a year or two, and then also you can keep him past this year because he's come off the bench and been successful. He's been a starter, been successful. I think it's tailor-made for somebody like him, and especially for somebody, and he's a lot like Van Fleet. Tough, competitive, will play his role, but then also exceed his expectations more than tenfold.
Is what you don't need is a Russell Westbrook type that's going to dominate the ball and need it in his hands.
Exactly.
You need like a Tyus Jones.
Yeah, type. Or somebody. Yeah. Yeah, just in that role. But I mean, Dennis Schroeder, just because of, you know, obviously the money he left on the table from Boston, then he went to the Lakers and kind of re-upped himself. And to trade him versus, you know, the luxury tax won't be as much. But, you know, Tyus Jones would be great, or somebody along those lines. You need that kind of, I know he doesn't play in the NBA anymore. You need that Ricky Rubio type that on a team like this, a table setter, can play defense, high assist to turnover ratio, and an all around good locker room guy. And so, and Dennis Schroeder fits all those. Tyus Jones as well. You definitely can, you know, find a guy that can come in and fit quite seamlessly with the Rockets and what they have going on.
My boy Tyus is down in Orlando. Kind of feel like they're a sleeping giant right now. Really like that fit for
him. But an oversaturation of ball handlers down there. And he would play a bigger role in Houston with Van Fleet being out versus Orlando, just on the surface, right? I mean, he's not going to be starting.
No.
So he's a starter. And you don't have to be, I think on this team, like with in that position, you of course you'd be a starter, but you don't have to be like a dominant starter because of Durant and everything else they have, going. And, you know, right off the rip, you think like, okay, the Chris Paul project, nope, just too much injuries. You want a little bit younger version, obviously. But, yeah, there's plenty of options out there. Now, you hate to do it, but this is a window that's wide open for the Rockets in the West to really make some noise.
Westy on the text line, you guys had to go there right away. At least let me crack a beer first. What about a guy like Monty Morris? Yeah, that's the exact archetype that I think we're talking about. I do wonder, though, Jay, just how much Houston needs a point guard versus how much they need what Fred VanVleet brings to the table. Because Reed Sheppard can dribble the ball up the court.
Yeah.
You know, he can do that. Amen Thompson can probably do that, right? VanVleet's pretty good at the end of the shot clock, but you have one of the top three ISO scorers of all time in Kevin Durant. You got a ball handling quasi point forward in Alperen Şengün. You know, like you don't need a true point guard all the time, but then you run into that issue that Nebraska runs into sometimes where, yeah, maybe you need a little bit more organization, but even more so than just the point guard position, Fred VanVleet's mentality and just the way he plays on the court, the role that he filled, I think Houston's going to miss Fred VanVleet more than they miss generic point guard.
You can go get, you can put more on Şengün or you can put more on Durant to make up for the points and all that. The biggest thing that you're going to miss is VanVleet. You wish you could actually try to get like a Jrue Holiday, which essentially them two dudes are like two replicas. If you could get it, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, you're thinking of the second apron and all that. I'm just saying if you could, you know, make an NBA 2K trade without any, you know, any money, it that's the guy. It's the leadership that he brought, the toughness, the extension of the head coach to the locker room. And really allowing him and Durant, but mainly him, because Durant is a leader, but you know, VanVleet is a
he's been there.
Yeah,
it's kind of his locker room.
Yeah, it is his locker room, but he's kind of more in your face, and so you're missing that, and that's probably the biggest thing for them to replace. But you know, there's plenty of options out there for him to not apples to apples replace it, but then also find somebody that could be somewhat comparable, definitely in the box score.
The other news out west, Jay, Zion. Like, did he get on the big O? Like, what went down with my boy Zion? He does not look the same. Of course, it's the offseason. Feels like he's in the best shape of his life. He says he hasn't felt this good since college. Not only did Zion lose the baby fat, right? Yeah. Like, he's kind of growing up. I mean, he'll be entering his age 25 season coming up. He didn't just lose the baby fat. He lost the New Orleans French Quarter fat.
Yeah,
he doesn't even look like Zion Williamson anymore.
Yeah, he looks like he's like, what is it called when people take pictures, like a filter or something?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, he's you know, he's got different facial hair. He's got a little bit of old school going on. The beard's gone. Got a little more of a goatee. And and definitely he's, you know, I heard him talk about it a little bit. He changed his workouts where it was never the same.
More boxing, more stuff on the football field. So yeah.
Maybe that's what he needed. And maybe this is when he's starting to mature as an athlete, you know, professionally.
And entering his athletic prime.
More power to him. Look, man, you would hate to look for everybody, at least right now, that everybody's like, that's controllable. How hard you work, how, you know, serious you take your diet. He's doing it right now. And hopefully, you know, for him, you want to see the payoff in him being able to play well, because obviously he's putting a lot of work, you know, outside of the basketball court to come in the best shape possible. And he looks dang good though for him.
Zion entered the league in 2019-20. He's played in 214 games in the six seasons since, missed the entire 21-22 season due to injury. Only played 24 games as a rookie. Of course, part of that season was cut short with the COVID bubble. 2020-2021, he plays in 61 games, sits out due to injury the whole next year, only 29 games returning from injury. Played 70 games a couple years ago, averaged 22 points, 6 rebounds, and 5 assists per game. And then last year, only 30 games in 28.5 minutes per game, put up 24 points, 7 rebounds, and 5 assists per game. I think it's best for his long-term future, Jay, that he did lose most of that weight. I hope. I mean, there's not been a more electrifying player in college basketball in a while, and you can see it when he's on the NBA court. A lot of those traits translate. But if Zion is 6'6", 220, let's say, you know, still cut at 6'6", 220, that's down from 6'6", 284.
Yeah.
That is a huge difference. And obviously, we're in agreement that he did need to lose a good chunk of that, or at least remake it.
Yeah.
But there's a world in which that's too skinny for Zion. I mean, at 6'6", that's the realm of some taller twos or like an average three.
Yeah.
And maybe even a shorter three in the NBA. And that's not Zion's skill set. He's not a perimeter-oriented guy. He was closer to modern Charles Barkley than a modern NBA wing in terms of his skill set and what he was asked to do. So, yeah, it's good he got the weight under control. He has a new focus, new diet and all that stuff. That's fantastic. But I worry, you know, did he go too far? And will he still be able to do the stuff that we associate with Zion Williamson? Or is he able to make that hard of a pivot to being more of that perimeter-oriented slasher rather than the interior bruiser?
Yeah, as long as he didn't lose his strength, I think this will allow him to obviously play more games and be more effective longer. And that's probably what the reason why he did it. And, you know, I think it'll be fine. I think he, and also I forget who it was that lost a lot of weight and then he put 10 more back on. And I know I heard LeBron talked about it, or maybe LeBron, remember where he can get really fluctuated what he wants. And he felt like he got a little too thin and got bigger. Let a lot of them play more powerful, especially down the stretch in the playoffs when you're playing more games and in fewer days of rest. And so I think it's a learning process for him, but it's a big year for him. You know, you got him and you got Murray. Got our boy Bryce McGowan's down there. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Bryce McGowan's is about 185 pounds, and different than Zion.
Zion could have shared.
Yeah, he could have shared a little bit.
Trey Murphy's fun.
Then you got the kind of X factor in Jordan Poole. Mm-hmm. And then you got some
Herb Jones is fun.
Yep. You got Derek Queen down there. Obviously.
Draft Fears.
Yeah. So you got a sneaky good team.
Did you remember who they signed at center?
Who?
Kevon Looney.
Oh, yeah. Looney. Yeah. And he's
sneaky underrated veteran pickup to help Zion.
Yeah. And that's perfect for Zion. Mm-hmm. A guy that's kind of had to reshape his body, reshape his game from when he came out of college to play with the Golden State Warriors. And lasted a lot longer than people projected, but then also come down and make an impact there on a young and potentially up-and-coming franchise and player. And so everything will go through Zion. And you got mm-hmm. sneaky good guys like Herbert Jones. So they have, in the West, a roster, if healthy, could really do some work. But it's going to be led by him. And, leadership is two parts. It's one, what you say, but then more importantly, what you do. And what he did is do something that was very uncomfortable for him. And then so when he's asking other guys to do other things for the betterment of the team, he has more than just, paycheck credibility. He has actual, action credibility.
NBA training camps getting underway. The other Duke basketball news on that front, Jared McCain missed most of last year with the knee injury for the Sixers. Tore a ligament in his shooting hand, so he'll be out for about 6 weeks. Sounds like the Sixers expect him to be ready pretty close to the start of the year. We'll go to break. We'll wrap up hour two of Old School right after this on The Ticket.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
In every office, there's two types of people. There are those who bring in bagels and those who eat the bagels that someone else brought in. Everybody likes the first person. Be that first person. Weekday mornings at 7:30, you have a chance to win a business box of bagels from Bagels and Joe. All you have to do is shut up Sipple. Two questions for you, two for Sip. Win and the bagels are yours. Lose, well, you don't want to lose.
You lost Monday, you lost Wednesday, you're a loser.
Shut up Sipple. Weekday mornings at 7:30, brought to you by Bagels and Joe.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Wrapping up hour two of Old School here, 93.7 TigFM.com. I'm Austin Norman. He is Jay Foreman. And this segment brought to you by League One Volleyball Nebraska. Recently known as Love Volleyball Omaha, now known as Love Volleyball Nebraska, you can renew your season tickets or secure them for the first time by visiting LOVB.com. The other thing you can do while you're at LOVB.com is you can become a Love Volleyball member. Exclusive access to players, coaches, and other fans like yourself. Become a League member today. Your chance of good seats, all that fun jazz, lovb.com. Jay, I am not locked in. I probably need to get locked in a sense of patriotism. Ryder Cup tomorrow.
Yeah.
What do you think? America going to pull it out? Europe going to be good? I mean,
Europe is
pretty dang good team. Yeah, team Europe
is,
this year.
Yeah, Europe is pretty stacked. And they've been talking about coming to
Bethpage
and beating America on American soil. But I mean, Keegan Bradley, you know, has had a great year. Probably could have been a player captain. Seems like he has some pretty good leadership and knows how to get guys going. I think guys genuinely like him, mm-hmm. and feel for him because he played and really wanted to be on the Ryder Cup last time. Zach Johnson didn't pick him, and then now he's the captain. So I think guys are going to, you know, when they're pulling for you and golf is a thing, if you get your lead dogs to play, and that's got to be Scottie Scheffler and, you know, the YouTube guy, Bryson DeChambeau, they got to really, you know, come with it because the European model, which is different than American golfers, those European guys, because I watch a lot of European soccer and there's obviously always those tournaments on, these guys travel together. They eat together. You know, they break bread, they drink together, they practice together. Whereas Americans, you know, they just, all right, man, I'm gonna, you know, they'll live in the same city.
I'll see you in Vegas for training camp.
And they'll have two private jets going to the same place. Whereas like European guys, you know, they don't make as much. They have to, you know, what, you know, they have to travel together. So what that leads to more of a team atmosphere. I think they really grew up idolizing some of the guys that are in the Ryder Cup. So United States team is a good team, a little bit younger on the back end of their roster. And mm-hmm. so the lead dogs are going to have to bring the young pups along. But I think it's going to be pretty exciting. And plus the New York fans are probably going to be – I think that's a factor that hopefully is worth a point or two for the USA.
It's very hard to get a home court, home crowd advantage in golf. If there was a place to do it, you would think New York would be a good option or maybe Philly.
I think New York because – of Bethpage Black, the history, the golfing. Yeah. And Philly would probably be a little too much disrespect, even though New York isn't. they'll be more tactful. And I think Bethpage is just it's a hard course and, you know, they set it up, you know, potentially for the U.S. to do well. So I look for the U.S. fans to go out there and make a difference. Just like when they were up in Minnesota, Medina, or whatever. Mm-hmm. The difference.
It is.
And it's not Medina. Yeah. It's the one in Minnesota where they had it. And they
Oh, yeah.
Where the guy came out of the crowd and made the putt. And I think United States won. So it's a good deal.
Is that it? Hazeltine?
Hazeltine.
Yeah. It's going to be back there in 29, by the way.
Yeah.
You going?
I'll go. I've played Hazeltine before.
You swinging?
I've played it.
You and Scotty pairing up?
Yeah, that'd be good. That would be the, you know what? That would be the funniest thing out there to have me out there. I just mad. I'm definitely shanking the first shot. Nerve.
Scotty just daps you up. You have all the confidence you need.
Yeah, that's true.
Hit it far, hit it straight.
Yeah. He, leadership is. He's like Obi-Wan Kenobi. He speak peace into your life.
You will hit this drive onto the fairway.
Oh yeah, and then if I start,
you will chip in for eagle.
If I start getting jiggy with it, then you know, then the gamesmanship would be on.
Scottie Scheffler 2-2-3 overall in his Ryder Cup career, 1-0-2 in four balls, 0-2-0 in foursomes, 1-0-1 in singles. His win over John Rahm, kind of peak John Rahm back at the time. How important is this Ryder Cup for Scottie's legacy, given the last couple of years he's had?
Well, he said it's very important. He said he wasn't very satisfied with the way he's played the last one. I think he said he changed the schedule to perform better. There's no doubt that he will. He's head and shoulders the best golfer out there. Coming in pretty good form. And I think if he gets it going, Europe is in trouble.
He's in the second match tomorrow. His partner is Senor Henley, whose first name escapes me at the moment. Match one for the U.S. will be Bryson DeChambeau, Justin Thomas. Match three, Colin Morikawa and Harris English. And then match four, Xander Schauffele and Mr. Pace of Play himself, Patrick Cantlay. We'll be back. We got hour three of Old School on the other side.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
T&Cs apply. In-app only.